Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Etasyam sadvi sandhyayam.
Etasyam sadvi sandhyayam.
Bhagavan bhuta bhavanaha.
Bhagavan bhuta bhavanaha.
Parito bhuta parshadvir.
Parito bhuta parshadvir.
Vishen atati bhutarat.
Vishen atati bhutarat.
Etasyam sadvi sandhyayam.
Etasyam sadvi sandhyayam.
Bhagavan bhuta bhavanaha.
Bhagavan bhuta bhavanaha.
Parito bhuta parshadbir.
Parito bhuta parshadbir.
Vishen atati bhutarat.
Vishen atati bhutarat.
Itasyam.
Itasyam.
In this period.
In this period.
Sadvi.
Sadvi.
O chaste one.
O chaste one.
Sandhyayam.
Sandhyayam.
At the juncture of the day and night.
At the juncture of the day and night.
Evening.
Evening.
Bhagavan.
Bhagavan.
The personality of God.
The personality of God.
Not Godhead, just God. Bhuta bhavanaha,
bhuta bhavanaha.
The well-wisher of the ghostly characters.
The well-wisher of the ghostly characters.
Paritaha,
paritaha.
Surrounded by.
Surrounded by.
Bhuta parshadbihi.
Bhuta parshadbihi.
By ghostly companions.
By ghostly companions.
Vishena.
Vishena.
On the back of the bull carrier.
On the back of the bull carrier.
Atati.
Atati.
Travels.
Travels.
Bhutarat.
Bhutarat.
The king of the ghosts.
The king of the ghosts.
Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Lord Shiva, the king of the ghosts, sitting on the back of the bull carrier, travels at this time, accompanied by ghosts who follow him for their welfare. Purport. Lord Shiva or Rudra is the king of the ghosts. Ghostly characters worship Lord Shiva to be gradually guided toward a path of self-realization. Mayavadi philosophers are mostly worshippers of Lord Shiva, and Sripad Shankar Acharya is considered to be the incarnation of Lord Shiva for preaching godlessness to the Mayavadi philosophers. Ghosts are bereft of a physical body because of their grievously sinful acts such as suicide. The last resort of the ghostly characters in human society is to take shelter of suicide, either material or spiritual. Material suicide causes loss of the physical body, and spiritual suicide causes loss of the individual identity. Mayavadi philosophers desire to lose their individuality and merge into the impersonal spiritual Brahma Jyoti existence. Lord Shiva, being very kind to the ghosts, sees that although they are condemned, they get physical bodies. He places them into the wombs of women who indulge in sexual intercourse, regardless of the restrictions on time and circumstance. Kashyapa wanted to impress this fact upon Diti so that she might wait for a while. So it's not just a scary image of Lord Bhutarata on his bull carrier. We read it in the purport yesterday. I'm not scared of ghosts. But she should be afraid of begetting bad children. This is should be her concern. This is her responsibility. You know, she's not responsible
as her husband is for representing the Vedic authority to human society, she's not an acharya. But her responsibility is to be a good mother. If she fails at that, then she's to be condemned. So this is actually the unspoken logic here, is that, you know, because of the influence, you should know this, my dear wife, that when Lord Shiva is predominant, then it's not the right time to procreate. Then you'll get demoniac child. This is the kindness of Lord Shiva, that he allows those who are so sinful, so degraded, that they're not even supposed to get bodies. They're supposed to stay as ghosts. But he puts them into human bodies in the wombs of the women who disobeyed the laws of procreation and had illicit sex, whether with their husbands or with somebody else. And unwanted progeny is the result. Strishu Dushtasu Konteyav Jayate Varna Sankaraha. Because or when the women are corrupt, then there's very bad result. Then the world becomes populated with low-class people. So the purity of the women is very important. It's not that the women aren't important. At least unless we have a society of nothing but celibates, then what happens to the women, how they're faring spiritually, makes a big difference in the ordinary human society where people have children. Those children, if they're not begotten properly, then they're off to a very bad start. Now, the first act for sanctifying one's life is the Garbhadhan Samskara. This is the parents' responsibility, to bring children into this world the proper way. And then you get good children. It's because of this proper behavior that human civilization rises up to a high standard. We have actual civilization, rather than cat and dog civilization. It's mainly on this basis. The performance of samskaras, of purificatory activities. These are not just rituals. You know, some voodoo hocus pocus, witch doctor stuff. No, this is actually important. Without the execution of these sanctificatory, there's no such word, sanctifying rituals, human beings are no better than cats and dogs. Dharmena hina pashubir samana. Human beings who have no religious principles are no better than animals, although they're walking on two legs. Religion, in its highest sense, means devotional service, pure love for God. If you have that, then you don't have to perform any other rituals other than just chant Hare Krishna, if you have love of God. But most people, even those who are chanting, don't have that love. They've got material contamination. They're committing offenses. They have full of material desires. And therefore, they can't just feel love for Krishna. Then they have to observe the other principles of religion. Atachitam samadhatum na shaknoshi mayi stiram abhyasa yogena tato mam ichaptum dananjaya. Arjuna, I recommended to you first that you just think of me 24 hours a day, and then you will come to me without a fail. But if you have some trouble doing that, then my second recommendation is that you follow the principles of sadhana bhakti. You accept a regulated practice of serving me. Abhyasa yoga. Abhyasa means practice. It's a simple formula, simple program. Learn how to love God by practicing it. If you serve Krishna, you'll learn to love him. If you establish a relationship with him, even a formal relationship, as a matter of obligation and duty, you do it because you're told to do it, not because you feel like doing it. Still, by that practice, you'll become attracted to Krishna, and you will form your relationship with him. That will awaken the love of God in the heart gradually. Mami Chaptam, the desire to have me, to have your relationship with me, will gradually evolve as you practice devotional service, even if it takes years and decades. That's Krishna's second recommendation. But he even is more liberal than that. Even if you can't do that, he gives a third recommendation. Atayetad apyashaktosi kartam madyogama ashritaha. What is it? Sarakramapala? No. Tatakuryatapapala. I think I skipped one. Yes. Anyway, if you can't practice sadhana bhakti, if you can't follow the rules and regulations, if you don't feel like chanting, you can't pick up the books, you can't do any sadhana bhakti, still, you can follow the principles of the Varnashram system. You can at least behave like a civilized human being. This is also dharma. The third level of dharma. First standard of dharma is to simply love God, love Krishna. Second standard, if you can't do that, is to practice serving Krishna. And if you can't do that, the third standard is to study, learn from the authorities how civilized human beings should behave in the Varnashram system. That is also dharma, although it's third class. Third class dharma. So, at least that should be there. At least human beings should obey the shastras, the Vedas. Particularly the dharma shastras are there. The brahmanas study the dharma shastras and they tell everybody else what the dharma shastras say. You go to the pundit ji in your village and he tells you, you know, what to do and what not to do. And if you do the wrong thing, what atonement to perform. Usually fill his belly with sweets is the atonement. And give him money. But anyway, that's his responsibility, is to show those who don't know how to read the shastras what's inside the shastras. These dharma shastras are the principles. Give the principles by which human beings behave like civilized human beings rather than animals. And the observance of the samskaras, whether you count 10 of them or 12 of them or 40 of them, are essential for high-class human life. For the members of the Varnashram system, at least above the standard of Shudra, they must observe these samskaras. And even the Shudras have some samskaras. They have the wedding. Every Shudra's life is sanctified by his being legally married. Otherwise, if he's just living as a debauchee, he's not even a proper Shudra. So the one ashrama for the Shudras is Grihastha ashram only. The Vaishyas have Brahmacharya and Grihastha, but they don't take Vanaprastha or Sannyas. Kshatriyas take Vanaprastha. That picture of Yudhishthira walking up into the mountains after leaving home. Originally he had a tridandi staff, and Prabhupada said that's wrong. Kshatriyas don't take sannyas, they take vanaprastha, so he should have an ordinary stick, not a sannyasi's danda. And the painting was corrected on Prabhupada's order. Kshatriyas do not take sannyas, only brahmanas. And for the Shudras, only marriage, only Grihastha ashram, only one ashram. They don't even have brahmachari treaty. Shudra, child, is not sent to a school. He goes to work with his father or his apprentice to another man and learns a trade. If he's going to be even a tradesman, if he's even going to learn a trade, a skill, he learns it from the father at work, not that he has to go to a university and get a bachelor's degree, you know, just to go and do shooter work after that. But these are principles of Dharma for all four classes. And even the Dharma Shastras describe how the mixed classes should live. Those who are results of who are the Varna Sankara, they can also be engaged, although they're considered contaminated, they're considered fallen. And it takes for them a lot of endeavor, and sometimes lifetimes, to become raised to the proper civilized standard. But still, for them, there's also gradual rectification and purification. It's important that it's essentially important that human society have the principles of religion in place. That's why Prabhupada came to preach, because ultimately because pure love of God should be taught to whoever can understand it. But Prabhupada also spoke about many other kinds of religious principles besides just loving Krishna. People may find that be dissatisfied with Prabhupada and go to someone else who is supposedly a rasika bhakta, supposedly Prabhupada isn't. This is such a fallacy. Prabhupada spoke about what appears to be mundane things, not because he wasn't rasika, because he didn't have the essence of Krishna consciousness, or he wasn't interested in imparting the essence of Krishna consciousness. But this is what we require in order to achieve the essence. We want the top, but we have to, we need a ladder to get up to the top. We're down at the bottom. We come from a civilization. Just because we're living in our times, no matter what country we come from, or what kind of education or background we have, we're living in a degraded world. There's practically no human civilization. The whole world is on the level of cats and dogs, practically. No matter where we came from. So we have a lot of purification to undergo. And probably in most of our cases, we have to pay attention to these mundane principles of how to behave like a civilized human being. Especially if we not only want to become Krishna conscious, but we want to help other people become Krishna conscious. Simply because that's what Prabhupada wants us to do. He wants us to preach. How do we become Krishna conscious? By pleasing our guru. And therefore, according to the specific desire of the guru, that's what we have to do. Prabhupada's desire is that we preach. He wants Krishna consciousness to be preached. That's what pleases him. He wants Krishna consciousness to spread, not that we just keep it for ourselves. So accepting that responsibility, even for selfish purposes, that I want to become spiritually advanced by pleasing Prabhupada, so therefore I want to do what he wants. If I accept that I should preach, then I have to be not only inwardly right, but I have to appear right on the outside also, so that people will accept. I have to not only love Krishna, but I have to behave like a civilized human being. If we behave like barbarians, then even if we have all good intentions and are chanting with pure love, our external behavior will not serve very much the purpose of preaching. We have to become civilized at least for the purpose of preaching. We have to behave in such a way that will attract people, that this is a decent way to live, to be a devotee of Krishna. Devotees of Krishna behave indecently, and who's going to be attracted? Simple as that. Simple reason why we have to also observe the mundane principles of the Varnashram system, at least in some rudimentary way, that we behave like civilized, decent human beings. People are not stupid, and they're not completely animals. They have at least their veneer of culture. And they looked at look at us behaving like complete crazy, you know, lunatics, then they will not at all be attracted. So it's important. It's important that we understand these principles. Therefore, Prabhupada is teaching them in his purports. How to behave like civilized human beings. We'll see a very good example of the civilized behavior in the upcoming narration in this chapter, chapter 21. No, we're not in chapter 21. That's over at the ashram there. They're studying chapter 21, the encounter between Swayambhuva Manu and Kardama Muni. We'll get to that in a year or so when we get to chapter 21, 6 months, whatever. But that is a good example of even people of different backgrounds, the Kshatriya and the Brahmin, the sage and the Manu, meet together not just to do business, but to show how decent, civilized human beings treat one another. That's the, you know, the business transaction that could have been done, you know, through a go-between to arrange for the marriage of the daughter. But their meeting in person is important to show how people behave properly. Hare Krishna. Okay, so I'll stop there. Any questions or comments?
Yes, sir. Yeah, I always wondered to you that when you had an instance of Balaram heard that a sudra was studying the Vedas in his kingdom, and he became very angry and chopped off his head.
He chopped off his head.
Yeah. There's some explanation of that, isn't it?
It's against the law. It's against the principles. Sudras are not supposed to recite the Vedas. They can study, you know, Puranas. They can learn stotras and prayers, but they shouldn't recite the Shrutis. That's confirmed by Baladeva Dibhushan in his Govinda Bhashya. Prabhupada is following that. Shudras shouldn't study the Vedas. But one who is initiated properly as a Vaishnava is no longer a Shudra. One who has Diksha, one who has some training in the Vaishnava, in the practice of devotional service, he can study the Vedas. But an ordinary Shudra shouldn't touch it. And Lord Ramachandra has to be severe in his you know, upholding the principles of religion. That's his duty as a king. Chop his head off. The verse that Baladeva Dibhushan quotes in the Govinda Bhat is that you should pour lead in his ears. Molten lead.
So you can't hear the Vedas anymore?
Yeah. They won't be able to hear anything after that. But when, you know, that not that we should literally do anything like that.
Yeah.
What we should do is make people into Vaishnavas, so we don't have any. You know, people who want to study the Vedas, they should become Vaishnavas. Otherwise, they'll just end up becoming Mayavadis. If they don't come to the Vaishnavas to study the Vedas, then they'll hear it from the Mayavadis. Then better you didn't chop off their head, or, you know, because they're committing spiritual suicide. The spiritual suicide is worse than being killed, having your head chopped off. Spiritual suicide means you'll die over and over again. Nana yoni shodapire. Not only one death, suicide only kills you once, but spiritual suicide kills you over and over again. You have to wander through numerous species of life because of your being polluted by this Mayavad nonsense. Right? So, that, you know, that's the danger of unqualified people studying the Vedas from other unqualified people. They become contaminated by what's taught by Lord Shiva in his incarnation as Shankaracharya.
What about, we get a lot of modern-day sudra professors, you know, studying the Vedas, not necessarily under somebody, but formulating.
They're also misrepresenting. They're also misleading. They shouldn't be, what's the biggest study? They certainly shouldn't be teaching.
Yeah.
They don't know what they're teaching. They're incapable of knowing it, because they're uncivilized. they want to become authorities, let them be trained up by the Vaishnavas. And learn first of all how to be a Brahmin, then you can study. Be Brahminical, then you can study the Vedas. That's why Prabhupada insists, chant Hare Krishna, but follow four regulative principles. Then we'll give you initiation. And then you can actually study the Bhagavatam. But one who doesn't follow the principles, he won't understand. He won't have the strength to persist in any kind of sadhana. And he won't have the clear intelligence to understand the message of the Gita and the Bhagavatam. Unless he follows these principles. Unless he behaves like a civilized human being. That's what the principles are. No eating, no meat eating, no intoxication, no illicit sex. It just means behaving like an ordinary civilized human being. That's all, nothing special. But without that, we won't understand and we won't have any strength to persevere in our sadhana. All right. Anything else?
Do we have to observe samskaras, different samskaras? Like other grihasthas?
Basically, no. Just the vivaha. You know, if they can perform a few samskaras, that's good. If you know, they can do it under the guidance of the brahmanas, but it's not fully obligatory for them. Shudras can be excused for.
So they can beget children anytime we want, and they are not guilty of that.
Yes. They're not expected to live up to a higher standard. If they can, it's good, but it's not demanded of them. Of course, the result is not very good. Then the children they have are not very qualified. You have smart shooters and stupid shooters. The smart ones should try to follow some principles. The Brahmins should help the lower class people come up to a higher standard. But it's not demanded. It's optional for them. Okay. I thank you, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Hare Krishna.